Go to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 29, Proverbs chapter 29, and we'll get started here, and the kiddos are going back for their class, and so Proverbs chapter 29, if you will, will mostly be in the book of Proverbs with, I think, maybe a couple of exceptions, and we'll go to another book here and there, but for the most part, We're going to be there in Proverbs, so once you get it there, you'll be in good shape. And if we do, go to another book. Keep your fingers stuck in Proverbs, all right? Because we'll be coming back. We'll be coming back there. Proverbs chapter 29, if we'll, a lot of times I'll read a passage of Scripture for the text. Sometimes I'll read just a verse. Well, tonight we're going to read half a verse, all right? Proverbs 29, verse 2. The Bible says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. I've been trying to preach to you a little bit about get wisdom. Get wisdom. The missing ingredient, I'm convinced, among so many people today is this matter of wisdom. It seems across the board, fools are in charge. Just across the board. Now, not everywhere, but I mean... In government, and in a lot of homes, man, fools are in charge. In a lot of businesses, fools are in charge. And sadly, in churches.
Yes, sir.
In churches. And boy, that's a sad thing, all right? So that's why I've been trying to preach on this thing called wisdom a little bit, all right? Last week we started, and I began to speak to you about be wise about authority. Be wise about authority. And spoke to you a little bit there, but there's no way I could cover everything that I really wanted to cover in that one night, so we're going back there tonight, okay? And we're going to talk about that thing called authority just a little bit. And it has a tendency, authority just has a tendency to rub a lot of people the wrong way. Because there is within the human soul and within that within that human flesh, there is a resentment against authority. More and more we see it in kids that come even to our Christian school. They come to our Christian school, and man, they don't like being told what to do. It upsets them, and I would get mad sometimes at the kids, but I have to remember that comes from home. That comes from home, and... it's just a mess, all right? And much of the reason that it rubs people the wrong way, I think, is more and more because authority is being given over to those who should not be in authority. You said, why? Well, because they're not fit to be there. They're not fit to be in authority. And we're going to look at it on just two areas tonight, okay? We're going to talk about those that are in authority and what they have responsibilities about. And then we're going to look at the other side, those have authority over them. Now, all of us are in one of those two groups. All of us are in one of those two groups. Some are in both. We're in authority and we're under authority. And I'll be honest with you, if you're in authority, you're under authority. And we need to realize that, all right? So we're just going to take a look at it just for a little bit tonight using the Scriptures. And first of all, let's look, if you will, at some things about the conduct of those that are in authority. You see, God's given definite guidelines for folks to follow that are in positions of authority, wherever it is. I mean, at the king level, the presidential level, the Senate level, hey, the county judge level, all of them, there's some guidelines for them. If it's, hey, parents in the home, dad in the home, husband in the home, there's guidelines for you, okay? The Bible gives those things for us. If it's in the church, there's guidelines. And we're to follow those things. So we're just going to look at it, all right? And the reason we're in such a mess is because so many in authority lack these things, all right? So you just take a look at them with me, if you will, tonight. Go to Proverbs chapter 31. I told you we'd pretty much be in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 31, and this is the chapter that is famous for talking about the wife, the mother, and the woman, all right? But we're not going to look at that. We're going to look at verse verse 4 here in Proverbs 31. The Bible said, "It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted." Listen, I decided to start right here. You need to beware of booze, okay? Just need to beware of booze. I'm going to be honest with you. The older I get, the more I hate any intoxicating beverage. I don't care what it is, if it's, I don't even know. There used to be a percentage beer. It was low alcohol, and I don't remember what that was. You drinkers might. But I don't remember hearing about what it was, all right? So, but man, I don't care if it's wine, you know, or if it's beer, or if it's vodka, or all the other kinds of stuff that I don't remember the names of, all right? Liquor and leaders do not mix well. Just don't get it. Hey, we can talk about in the home. We can talk about at home. More homes maybe been ruined because of booze. Because of booze. You said, no preacher, is that unfaithful man, and he's drunk. He's drunk when he's unfaithful. Same be said many women, wives. Why? Drunk. Hey, man, I'll just tell you, liquor and leaders, that doesn't mix. Does not mix. How many times have we seen political leaders get in trouble because they get drunk? They just get drunk. Folks, you can like it. You don't like it. It doesn't matter. Liquor enslaves people. Liquor enslaves people. If I get to drinking Mountain Dew, I can down a bunch of it, okay? If I get to drinking Coke or Dr. Pepper, all right? To me, those stuff, it tastes good. I can drink a bunch. I think, boy, if I drank anything that was intoxicating, if it tasted good, I'd have a problem. Now, that may be the voice of experience. I don't know, all right? You said, when it doesn't taste good. I've had people tell me, hey, man, the first time I tasted it, I didn't like it. And I said, why'd you keep drinking it then? Well, I kind of got used to it. I said, man alive, you don't do that with anything else, but you'll keep downing something because it's booze. And well, it don't taste good. Yeah, well, why do it, all right? I'm assuming some of it has to, or everybody wouldn't get involved in it, all right? I see pictures on old cowboy movies, okay, the old cowboy shows, and guys get up there in the saloon, and they'll get a shot, and they drink it, and then they gasp and sputter and, you know, hack and cough for 5 minutes. And I think, I don't think I'd do that if it did that to me. All right? If it did that to me, if whiskey did that, I mean, why do you torture yourself? All right? The only thing I can compare it to that I know of that makes me act that way is bad-tasting medicine. And man, when I was a kid, no medicine tasted good. There wasn't any in this stuff. Well, you know, it's good. It's good for the kids. It tastes good. They didn't do that when I was a kid. And you know, there wasn't any business. Well, we can't get Junior to take it. Mom and Dad never had trouble getting me to take it, because the after effects, if I gave him any trouble, wasn't desired. It was better to cough and gag and spit and all that after you drank the nasty-tasting medicine than not take it, get what you got, and then have to take it, all right? So, but, hey, I just don't understand that kind of thing. But yet, at the same time, I've seen, as I said, liquor enslaves so many people. Booze just consumes them. I remember, boy, we're talking years ago, there was a little boy that rode my bus. His first name was Jimmy, and his dad's name was Jimmy. And I never, ever saw his dad, ever, without bloodshot eyes. Never. And I heard, and the person that told me didn't have any reason to lie about it, that he would drink a case of beer a day. I mean, he never... Never did I ever see him where he wasn't a little bit bleary-eyed and bloodshot, okay? Hey, it enslaves people. I could talk to you about marriage after marriage that I've seen deteriorate because of booze.
Right, right.
Because of drinking. I'll tell you this, you never know where the path of alcohol is going to take you. And I know everybody, I can handle it. I can take, no, you can't. It'll get you, all right? That's why the Bible says wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Is not wise. Hey, if you're going to be in the leadership position, if you're in authority, you need to beware of booze, okay? You need to stay away from it. You're still there in chapter 31. Look at verse 3. Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. Hey, watch out for women. Now, just so you women don't get mad at me, I won't tell you, you women need to watch out for men. You need to watch out for them. Wicked women and wicked men have led to the downfall of multitudes of those in authority. Multitudes, all right? There's no better example than Solomon that put the book of Proverbs together for us. Don't lose Proverbs' place, but go back to 1 Kings chapter 11. Now, the Bible tells us, I believe it, that Solomon's wisest man that ever lived, he had wisdom from God. God gave him the wisdom that he had. And with all the wisdom that he had, with all that he saw and all that he knew, we read in 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 1. The Bible said, but King Solomon loved many strange women. Now, by strange women, he didn't mean weird, all right? He didn't mean these were the kinds, you know, that had ball bearings implanted under their skin and they had 47 piercings all over their face and everything. We're not talking about weird, okay? He said strange women. In other words, they were ungodly. They were unsaved. They were not among the people of God. And it says, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites. Notice, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go in unto them. All right? He had made it plain, you don't have anything to do with them, and yet that's what Solomon did. That's what he did, all right? He loved many strange women. You look at verse 4, for it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. Why? Man, he's running with the wrong bunch, all right? Wrong bunch of women. You got to watch out for that wicked, ungodly crowd. You didn't have to say what I'm going to say, but the truth of the matter is now you got to be on your guard everywhere for some wicked individual making a play for you. All right, and men, women make a play for you. Women, men will make a play for you. In this perverted day we're in, same-sex folks will come after you. All right, you say, what do you do, preacher? You got to watch out for them, all right? You got to be on your guard. You just got to be on your guard. I'm a people person. I like to talk to people, and I like to kid with people, but I have to be kind of careful when I'm around. I try to really be careful if I'm around women that I don't say anything that could ever be construed in a wrong way. I want to be very careful about that, all right? I don't want somebody to say, well, you're trying to get... No, man, I'm interested in one woman in this world. Been married to her for nearly 42 years. I'm not interested in the other woman, all right? No, sir, I'm happy, I'm content. But you better watch out, because we live in a day when people make a play for you. You need to watch out, especially if you're in any kind of authority, any kind of authority position. Watch out. Chapter 15 of Proverbs, all right? Chapter 15 of Proverbs. Listen, if you're going to be in authority, yep, you need to beware of booze. You need to watch out for women or men, whichever the situation is. But then in chapter 15, verse 22, the Bible says this, without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. If you're going to be in a position of authority, you need to consider counsel. You need to consider counsel. Nobody knows it all. Nobody knows it all. I don't profess to know everything. I don't even profess to know all the Bible. I am a preacher, you know, and you're supposed to be a theological expert, you know, if you are. I don't profess to know everything there. You can ask me questions. I'd say, let me get back to you. I'll have to check that out. I'm not sure. I'm really not sure. And so nobody knows it all. That's why the Bible tells us we're to seek godly counsel. You're in, hey, men, you're the head of your home. You said that's the only authority position I'm in. You're to seek godly counsel. You're to seek godly counsel. If you're going to be a good husband, if you're going to be a good dad, you need to seek godly counsel. He said, it's too late for me. It's never too late. You're still breathing. You're still breathing, all right? You need to look for that, all right? You need to look for that. If you're in some position in business and maybe you've been in some position there, it's kind of higher up, you need to seek counsel. You don't know everything, all right? You don't know everything. But you know the wonderful truth is you can borrow brains. You can borrow brains. You don't have to have them all. You don't have to have them all. Years ago, I had a cousin that had a quartet. He was a bass singer, and he had a quartet, and I was around somebody, and they were joking with him, and they said, man, how in the world did you ever, and he was at one time doing pretty well, and somebody said, how in the world did you ever do it? You're not worth a flip as a singer, and he was giving him a hard time, and he said, I don't profess to be good, but I surround myself with people that are. He said, they can't hear me, they out-sing me, so the other folks can't hear me, all right? Hey, listen, you can borrow brains. That's why you seek counsel. You seek counsel. Now, that's why I'll come to you men and say, hey, I need to ask you about something. What do you think? What do you think? Because I don't know. I'm going to come. I'm going to ask you. I'm looking for that. I want to borrow that, you know. I just like to, you know, run the bucket down in your well a little bit and see what we can come up with, you know. You can't do it. Consider counsel, all right? Don't think I've got to go along. Need to be wise if you're in that position of authority and how you conduct yourself. At the same time, though, let's go to chapter 29, all right? Chapter 29. There's something else we need to do, all right? If you're in authority, chapter 29 of Proverbs, down in verse 14, it says this, the king that faithfully judges the poor, his throne shall be established forever. The one that's concerned about the poor. Listen, I believe if you're in a place of authority, whatever it is, you need to have some worry over the weak. You need to worry about the weak, folks. There needs to be concern there. The leader who has power needs to concern himself with those who are powerless. Those who are powerless. We need to be concerned about them, all right? We don't need to take them for granted. The worst thing in the world is power easily leads many people to forget those who prayed for them and put them in the position. You got to be careful. Hey, the old time saying was you got too big for your britches, all right? You just got too big and you got such an opinion of yourself that you no longer thought, hey, I'm above everybody else and I don't have to concern myself. I'm going to focus on this group right here. I remember when there were churches that were geared and just looking at and trying to reach the yuppies. I'll tell you something. I want to reach the yuppies. I want to reach the millennials, the Gen Xers. What is it? The Gen Zers? The Gen Double X? I don't know what they are. All right, man, I can't keep track of it anymore. You know, they've got a term for everybody. And I still want to reach some of those in the greatest generation, all right? Why? Well, we were to be interested in everybody. Everybody. The rich and the poor. Never forget when Brother Trangmar worked with me and was working with us here at church, we went to visit some people, and man, if you looked up the word poor in the dictionary, their picture would be there. They were poor. They were poor. And I'll never forget him saying to me, he said, preacher, I can't believe how concerned you are about people that will never do anything for you. Now, I'm not saying that to brag on me. I'm saying that to tell you we ought to be concerned about the powerless. We need to be concerned about the weak. We need to be concerned about some folks, all right? They'll never come and put $100 in the offering plate. They'll never be able to do that. They'll never be able to teach Sunday school class. They'll never be able to sing in the choir. They can't carry a tune in a bucket, all right? And they'll never be able to do any of that. But, hey, I want to tell you this. They're important to God. They ought to be important to us. They ought to be important to us. Doesn't matter what they can or cannot do, all right? I don't want to see a person in authority get to the point where they think they can treat those under them with no compassion, no concern. Hey, sometimes husbands do that to their wife. Man, I don't understand. I'll never understand a man hit his wife. Don't understand that. Sorry. And look, if you can't beat up your wife, all right. Trouble is, I think some men do that because that's the only person they can beat up is their wife. Now, I'd always be afraid to hit mine because I know in the middle of the night she could get a hold of a skillet. And so I'd be a little weary of that. But, hey, I tell you, some husbands, they don't have any wisdom. They don't treat their wife with the compassion and the concern that they ought to. Some parents don't treat their children with the compassion and the concern they ought to. That's why we got a lot of juvenile delinquents. Parents don't treat their kids right, all right? I'll tell you this. There's some preachers that get arrogant, and you know them. You've met them. I'm sure, Brother Oftedal, you've met some in your life that have done the same thing. What a shame. What a shame. You ever get to that point. Hey, if you're in authority, you need to worry over the weak. Need to worry over the weak. Take your Bible to chapter 20, would you? Chapter 20. Now, by the way, I'm going to say this before we get too much further along. We're not going to cover the subject of authority, all right? We're just hitting high points and skipping along, all right? Proverbs chapter 20, if you will, verse 26. A wise king scattereth the wicked and bringeth the wheel over them. Hey, if you're in authority, you ought to learn to whip the wicked, all right? You need to get rid of wicked influences and deny that influence in your life. Need to do it, man. That's so important. You say, what in the world are they talking about that wheel? The wheel bringeth a wheel over them. Hey, that's a threshing wheel. You'd run that wheel over the grain and knock the grain out of the husk, all right? And then you could throw the husk up and the wind blow it away and you'd have the grain there, all right? We're talking about that wheel of judgment. And then the wheel of punishment for that one that's wicked. That's what it ought to be, and those in authority ought to see to it that the wicked are punished. You sure don't run with them and lift them up, okay? Don't run with that ungodly crowd and lift them up. That's what's going on in our land today. People in authority have elevated the wicked, the ungodly, and are pushing their agenda down the throats of you and I who are Bible believers, and trying to get us convinced there's something wrong with you if you do not accept and take in the wicked. There's nothing wrong with us. The problem is there's something wrong with that crowd that wants to run with the perverted and the ungodly and lift them up and praise them, all right? Remember where we started tonight? Proverbs 29. Would you go back over there? We started there in Proverbs 29, verse 2, and I said we're just going to use half the verse, all right? That's not the right place. Proverbs 29, yeah, verse 2. It is the right place. All right? We read, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But notice the last half. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. Hey, that's why there's a lot of mourning in our land. A lot of mourning in our land today. Why? Because the wicked beareth rule. All right? The wicked have been elevated. Now, I don't want you to start claiming I'm accusing individual. In a nutshell, by and large, it's the wicked that have been elevated to positions of authority. And because of that, the people mourn. There's mourning. There's anguish. There's people that are concerned. There's people that are worried. Why? Well, the wicked are bearing rule, all right? Look, we need to realize that. We need to take note of the fact that if you're in authority, you need to whip the wicked. You're not to run along with them and encourage them, all right? Now, we're going to get to the hard part now, okay? Look at chapter 16, would you? Chapter 16, would you look with me at verse 14? The Bible said the wrath of a king is as messengers of death, but a wise man will pacify it. If you're going to be an authority, you need to master your madness, okay? We say it, control your temper. Look, leaders must learn to control themselves. Leaders must learn to control themselves. You pick any level of leadership you want. If it's in the home, you parents have to learn to control yourself. You got to learn to control yourself. You can't, we talk about somebody flying off the handle. If you're the leader, you can't do that. You're going to do great harm if you do that. Well, I just lost my temper. Don't do it. Keep a good eye on it so you don't lose it, okay? You need to master that madness that comes over you at times. You need to control yourself. In a church setting, pastor of the church, you say, preacher, you ever get mad? Never, never, never. Sure. But you got to master that. You can't come unhinged. You just can't do that, all right? If you do that, you're going to cause more trouble. You're not going to help anything. You got to control that, all right? And you have to control it at home. You have to control it in church. And we have to control it in the government. Man, people just fly off the handle and think, well, we just do anything we want to, and those people out there are just going to have to like it. Well, no. You're going to cause trouble. Yeah, you have to learn to do it. You know, temper is not a bad thing unless it's uncontrolled. See, the Bible says be angry. But unfortunately, the rest of that verse says, and sin not. Now, if it just said be angry, I wouldn't have any trouble with the Bible at all. I can get mad. I know how to get mad. And then it says sin not, all right? Hey, control. Authority figures absolutely must be able to discipline themselves. Discipline themselves. Keep themselves in line. Man, you're the head of the home. You need to be in control of yourself. Because you lose control of yourself, you will have no control in your home. Just will not happen. Will not happen. I can't, as pastor, come up here and unwind on somebody that's aggravated me during the week by what they've done. Okay? I just can't do that. Because some of you are sitting there going, who's he mad at? And then you begin looking around, all right? Wonder if it's him. Wonder if it's her. Hey, you can't do that. Cannot do that. I'll be honest with you. There's times, you know, you get upset with people because of the way they live. You bet. But I can't come here in the pulpit and chew all of y'all out because of what one person did. That's not God leading. Okay? It's not. Hey, master your madness. You're in authority. Now we're at the second part. How about those of us that are under authority? Now, all of us are here. All of us are under authority. Now, how are we to behave then toward those that are in authority? Chapter 20, Proverbs, okay? Chapter 20 of Proverbs. I'm going to go quickly so we can get out of here tonight. Verse 6, most then will proclaim everyone his own goodness. Man, is that forever true? But a faithful man, who can find? Who can find? You say, what should we do to that in authority? We ought to really be reliable. Just plain old faithfulness, all right? Plain old faithfulness. If you're faithful, you can be counted on. You can be counted on. You'll be there. You'll be in your position. You'll take care of your business, all right? And we need to be there. Be there when you should be there. be there. Hey, you're under authority at work. You got a job. You labor. You work. You're under authority. You need to show up when you're supposed to show up. You're to do what you're supposed to do. You're to be reliable. That boss shouldn't have to think, well, I got to keep an eye on him. If I don't watch, they'll quit working. You ought to be working where anybody's watching or not. You're drawing a paycheck, all right? You ought to be working. You ought to be doing what you should. I shouldn't be somewhere off hid in the corner of the warehouse, all right? I worked in a warehouse. I know about. Never mind. I won't go into that. But there's a lot of corners to hide in, okay? I've been there, so I know they're there, and that's possible. Hey, but you ought to be reliable. Reliable. Man, listen, in the house of God, there's nothing better than faithfulness. Nothing better than faithfulness. You say, man, I can't really do anything much. Well, that's all right. You do what you can do and do it. And it's good to know you don't know what a blessing you are to this pastor to know, hey, you're going to be there. You're going to be reliable. You will show up. You will take care of whatever you can take care of, whatever responsibility you have. You're going to take care of it. Hey, listen, anybody can do that. And that's what we ought to be to those in authority over us. Back those up that are in authority. Don't rebel against them. Back them up. Back them up. Encourage them. Be willing to work. Be willing to support that authority. Be willing to do that, all right? Be willing to do that. Chapter 24. Chapter 24, verse 21. Look at verse 22. Verse 21 and verse 22, all right? Chapter 24. My son, fear thou the Lord and the king. And meddle not with them that are given to change, for their calamity shall rise suddenly, and who knoweth the ruin of them both? My son, fear thou, notice, the Lord and the king. Did you notice how God put those two together in the same verse? You say, what are you getting at? Well, I believe one thing it is, we ought to be respectful to authority. If it's God's authority, we respect God's authority. If it's the king's authority, in other words, not... If it's that authority that doesn't rise from a sovereign God, but it is that temporal authority, we're still to be respectful to it, all right? We need to remember God expects us to have respect for those that are in authority. Now look, I'm just like you. I'm not very happy with a lot of the leaders in this land. Not very happy. I just go ahead and say it. I'm more disappointed in our president than I thought I would be. Didn't have much hopes, but man, I'm more disappointed. More disappointed. But I'll tell you this. If I had the chance to stand before him, I'd be respectful. I would be respectful to him. He's in authority. Well, I didn't vote for him. Doesn't matter. He's in authority. He's in authority. Doesn't matter if you voted for him or not. He's in authority. We're to respect that, all right? Doesn't mean, hey, we can respect people we don't agree with. There's people I don't agree with, but I still respect them. I've got some friends that we disagree in some areas, but I still respect them. I tell them, look, if you want to be wrong, it's okay. Go ahead, be wrong, all right? But I'm respectful to them, okay? It's always right. Stay with me. It's always right. For us to behave properly. Always right. It is right to be polite. It is right to be polite. Now, I'm like you. I get aggravated at some people in authority. But I'm to be polite. You say, why? Don't lose your place here in Proverbs, but I want you to go back to Philippians. I'm just going to point out to you, Philippians is still in the Bible. And what was true when it was written is still true today. You look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, would you? Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. Boy, it's, you know, let's be honest. It's not the big, what we would consider the big things in the Bible that challenge us. It's the little things. The Bible says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Here it is, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Better than themselves. Hey, we're to be respectful. We're to be polite. We're to esteem. We're to look at others better than we are. we're to face them that way. It's still in the Bible. It's true. Can I tell you this? That means you and I are never to be brash. We're never to be arrogant. Never. You know, I was not a fan of Cassius Clay. Neither was I a fan of Muhammad Ali. And I'm old enough to remember both of them. Now, they were the same person in case you're young and don't know it, all right? But it was his attitude I didn't like. It was that brashness, that arrogancy. And it may have been all an act and all that. I understand that. But, man, I got tired of hearing somebody say, I'm the greatest. I'm the greatest. All right? I'll tell you this. That's one reason I don't care for professional sports. One reason I don't care for professional athletics, and it's filtering down to the high school level. This idea, man, I did something, I beat my chest and say, did you see me? And you know, I've even talked to some guys in Bible college about trash talking in basketball. I said, look, if you're as good as you think you are, you wouldn't have to say anything. You wouldn't have to tell everybody how good you are, they'd see it. But the reason you have to tell everybody is because they can't quite tell it, all right? So I'm just telling you, you and I, we got no right to be brash or arrogant at all. We're to be respectful to authority, all authority. But something else, chapter 25 of Proverbs, look if you will, verse 15. Chapter 25, verse 15. The Bible says, by long forbearing is a prince persuaded, and a soft tongue breaketh the bone. I tell you this, when it comes to authority, sometimes you got to be patient. You got to be patient. It is possible to persuade those in authority to do the right thing, but it may take a while. It may take a while. You may need to spend a lot of time on your knees praying and asking God for help, asking God to change their heart. But you may also have to spend some time where you stay after them. Now, not pushy, but just gently. Hey, look at what that last part of that verse says, would you? A soft tongue breaketh the bone. Well, we think that the harder that tongue is and the more tart it is, the better. No, the Bible said just the other way around. It's that soft tongue that breaketh the bone. Hey, you deal with folks in authority, and everybody's trying to tell them what to do. Everybody's trying to tell them what to do. I have people come to me time to time and say, preacher, you need to preach on this. I said, think so? Man, all right, I'll consider it. You say, do you? Yeah. And if God tells me to preach on it, I will. But I have people, people do that. People come, suggest things. I think I told Brother Dunbar this. I said, Brother Dunbar, and this years ago, I said, look, you got ideas, come to me. And I'm going to tell you this, we may not do them right away. It may take me years to decide that was a good idea. And he says, so far, he never has got that far. You've never thought I had a good idea. But, you know, hey, the truth of the matter is, it does take a while sometimes. You need to be patient, all right? You need to be patient. Stay after him. Stay on your knees. This is your relationship to authority. You'd like to see them change. Be patient. Don't lose it, all right? Then go with me now. Three verses. We're going to look at them quickly. Chapter 13. Chapter 13, if you will. Verse 1. The Bible says, a wise man heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. Then look in chapter 15. Chapter 15, verse 31, would you? Chapter 15, verse 31. The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. Then Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 20. The Bible says, hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? Hey, you ought to listen to authority. You ought to listen to authority. The instructions, the commandments, the correction that comes from authority is to be given heed. It's to be given heed. I don't care who the authority is, all right? If it's a policeman, listen. Listen to them. Receive instruction. Listen and learn so you can be wise. Listen and learn so you can be wise. They're there. They've got some knowledge. You don't know everything they're exposed to. I've often wondered what the president really knows about that you and I'll never hear about. Never hear about. You wonder what goes on in them, all right? When authority's speaking, you ought to listen. You ought to listen to them, whoever it is. If it's in the home, if you're a child in the home, listen. 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 Pay attention, all right? Try to get what you can there. If it's at work, listen. Listen. Well, my wife and I lived over on 4036 Natchez for about 47 years, I think. Wasn't that long. It was a long time, I think, 19 years we lived over there. And we had a guy move in next to us, and he was a fellow with a green card. He wasn't a citizen, and he is married to a lady that is a citizen. They had a couple of girls, and he worked in construction. And, man, some of the nicest people I've ever met, some of the best neighbors you could ever have. And we would talk, and he'd tell me, he'd say, well, I've quit my job. He said, I've taken another job. He said, there's something I want to learn, and if I go over there, I can learn how to do that. And then as he lived next to us, he completely remade his house. It went from a one-story to a two-story house. And he did the work. He did the work. And when I talked to him about how he learned different things, he said, well, I'd take a different job, and I'd learn a new job, and I'd learn a new skill. And he said, once I knew that, and now what he does, he makes his living as a handyman. And he just does whatever work, you know. He offers himself out there. What did he do? Well, he went to somebody in authority over him, and he learned from them. He learned from them. Well, it's wise to do that, all right? It's wise to learn from that that's in authority. But can I say this to you? Sometimes, though, it's good to check your source. You say, what do you mean? I mean you ought to filter everything you get through the Bible. You need to filter everything you get through the Word of God. If it contradicts what the Bible says, discard it. It is not right. Just don't buy into it. And if you are asked to do something that contradicts the Bible, don't do it. Can't do that. Just can't do that. Listen to authority, yeah. But sometimes you can get in a situation where what they're telling you is not true because it doesn't match up. It's directly opposed to what the Bible says. Listen to the Word of God, all right? Above everything, that is our number one authority, all right? Go back now to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Look, if you will, down in verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. You want to live a long time? Then be obedient to God, all right? That's what the Bible says. Chapter 10. Look at verse 17. He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuseth reproof erreth. Then chapter 12 and verse 1. Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. So, okay, where we going, preacher? Hey, you're going to be what you ought to be in relationship to authority. You need to be obedient. You need to be obedient. All through the book of Proverbs, Solomon instructs us to have an obedient spirit toward those in authority. All the way through the book, all right? And we ought to learn to love instruction, all right? We ought to just love instruction. Why? So we can learn. I want to learn. Sometimes the best learning is when somebody has to correct you. You've made a mistake, you've done wrong, somebody has to correct you. Don't be so quick to get defensive. Sometimes, hey, I'm guilty too. Sometimes when somebody's criticizing you, our immediate reaction is I quit listening and I begin to gifts, give my justification, and I'm developing my argument in my mind and waiting on them to shut up so I can give it to them. So we don't hear what's being said to us. We don't hear what's being said to us. Now, I guarantee you have that trouble with kids. And some kids are 45 and 50 years old, all right? Because do the same thing. Somebody's trying to tell us, hey, look, you did wrong there, or you should have done this way. Hey, love that instruction. Love that instruction. Get it. Be obedient to authority, all right? Hey, remember, authority is ordained of God. It's ordained of God. If you're in a place of authority, never forget this. You're accountable to God. You're accountable to God. If you're the head man where you work, you're a teacher. We got some teachers. I'm a teacher. I teach kiddos. I'm going to be held accountable for that. Every bit of that. Okay? You're in a position of authority. Never forget, you're going to be accountable to God. And I really think oftentimes people forget that, and that's when they let the power go to their head. And they think, I can do whatever I want. No, you can't. You're going to have to answer to God for one of these days. Have to answer to Him. On the other hand, when you're under authority, you're accountable to God for how you take and follow that authority. This matter of authority is an important thing. We deal with it every day. We deal with it every day somehow. Somehow. I mean, we just deal with it. I know of a preacher that says, if I go into a restaurant and it says, please wait to be seated, I never wait. I just go get me a table. I guess that makes you feel better. I don't know. Now, I don't mind waiting and letting somebody say, here, this table. Now, if I think there's something wrong with it, I would ask them, no, don't want to sit there. Got to sit somewhere else. But, hey, the very idea, it's okay for us to be under authority. It's okay for us to be under authority. By the way, the preacher said that he's dead now, so God's taking care of him along that line, all right? I don't have to worry about it. That wasn't my job anyway. But I want an attitude toward authority. It helps me to be under authority to God. Helps me there. You're under authority some way. Remember, we're accountable to God. If you're in that position of authority, you will stand before God and give an account for that too. You know, everybody likes privilege, but we don't like the responsibility that comes with privilege. But they go together. They go together. You be careful. Be careful. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, you'd help us that we'd learn something tonight. We'd get the Word of God. We'd understand that we're accountable to you and how we react to authority. And, Lord, what we do as being in a place of authority.